We've entitled this message, Make Straight the Lord's Way. It's a double back message to look carefully and inductively at making the Lord's way straight. And I don't know if this would help you or harm you to say it, but I want you to know that this is a holiness message. This is a holiness message. God says, I want you to be holy, for I'm holy. And as usual, Steve, some of your message touched on what we'll be looking at this morning. If you look at Isaiah 43 through 5, a voice cries, In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And for those of you that don't know what a wilderness would be like, all you have to do is go south of town. And south of town, there are ravines and valleys that are vertically deep, 1,000 feet or more, that there is no road. There is nothing there unless you go on a horse or by foot. You can't get in there. And he says, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain made and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, or the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then these words in John chapter 1. The Levites and the priests came from Jerusalem from the Pharisees asking. They said to him in verse 22, Who are you? This is to John the Baptist. We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Father, use your word in our hearts today. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What is in a highway? Well, if you're on I-80, you're one out of about 20 cars that is not a semi. Most of us know Interstate 80 runs through Rock Springs, and this highway is the most traveled road across America, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. It's known. Go on other turnpikes and you'll find it to be the case. The quintessential proof of civilization is the presence of roads. Roads, just one thing, roads. Roads joined together open the door to civilization, to trade, to travel, to vacation spots, to fishing holes, to hunting spots, to harvest game, a path for military equipment to move from one section to another to protect our nation. It's a path, a road to education and recreation and communication and commerce. And roads are a sign there is a way for people to get to where they need to go. I want to talk about a road today that you and I need to build straight from our heart to the heart of God. It's a road of repentance. It's a road of revival. It's a road that doesn't need any mountains or valleys. It doesn't need any crooked places, any rough places. It needs to be straight from our heart to the heart of God. This week, as I read in my devotions, Leviticus 20, verse 8, it says, Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Some people don't know what sanctify means. It just means to make holy. But I want to say, if it'll sound better to you, I make up my own word here. I am the Lord who holifies you. He makes you holy. And that's his job, to make you holy. And it's your job to cooperate by making a path straight from your heart to his. I've found over and over in my life that doubling back when I'm on the road The reason is a sign has caught my attention and I've traveled past it. Have you ever traveled past a sign and had someone in the car or your own mind say, I don't know, did I miss my road? Or do I need to read that sign more carefully? And so we turn around, double back, and that's what we're doing today. God wants us to be on what he calls in Isaiah 35:8, the highway of holiness. And the highway of holiness is to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Today, this message I bring to us is without apology, a double back. As I was reading our next text, John 1:29 to 34, I kept hearing in my heart and in my mind, make straight the way of the Lord, make straight the way of the Lord. And when you can't get anything else in your mind, you realize, I better stop and do that. I better go back and read the sign. And so this week I've gone back and read the sign. And the sign says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah 40 verse 3, and make the crooked places straight. If you will allow God to go with me, if each of you will go with me, I've already been there in the first message, and I go over these messages lots before I bring them to you. God keeps bringing me back to the Jordan River. Now, if I could take you out south of town to a place you may not know, Dugway Canyon, or Waukee Canyon, or Cedar Creek, and then some canyons between Aspen Mountain and Little Bitter Creek, there are places there that must have looked like the Wild Jordan. They're vertical drops. I'm telling you, if you shoot an elk down there, you'll be days getting it out. It's an incredible thing. I want you to go with me to the Wild Jordan that used to flow very fast. And I want you to hear John the Baptist. He's standing out in the water. And as he's standing out in the water, he says, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And if you get away from the river and you don't hear a message of repentance coming straight to your heart, I promise you, you haven't been with me today to the Jordan. Because as was the case for Isaiah, you can talk about all the sins of everyone around you, but when you see the holiness of God and you see your own sinfulness, it's not about the holiness, the unholiness of others and the wickedness and the sinfulness of the world. You say with Isaiah, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. So allow yourself to listen, not for anyone else. If you know exactly who needs this message here, you haven't heard it. The only way you'll hear this message is if you hear it for yourself, as I have heard it for myself. Jesus didn't come with a different message than John. He went much further with the gospel. But I want you to know that he preached the same repentance that John the Baptist did. And Jesus forever made this straight way to repentance. He made the road base of this road repentance. That's the road base. You know about a road base when they're making, before they put on the concrete, there's a base. What's at the base? Repentance. And amazingly, we read in Mark 1:14 to 15 that God here at the Jordan, he was connecting the dots between Messiah, who's going to be baptized in our next message as we look at it, and John, who says that's the Lamb of God. And he doesn't want to baptize Jesus, but Jesus says to fulfill all things, do it. And the dots are connected, and the dots are connected with one word, repentance. Jesus went out. We read in Mark 1:14 to 15, after John was arrested, he came into Galilee, he proclaimed the gospel of God, and he said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Can you see the foundation, the road base of this road? Repent and believe in the gospel. The voice of Isaiah, fulfilled in John the Baptist, was a cry to make a highway to our own repentance when Jesus arrives. And by the way, he arrived over 2,000 years ago. It's refreshing to note that you don't read about anyone that went to the river that wasn't spoken to. It's refreshing to note that Jesus' forerunner never said, "You guys are okay, you guys better repent." He was speaking to every one of them. He would not let one of them, and he wouldn't let one of us today, evade responsibility for the sin in our own lives. This preparation for Messiah message was for all the hearers to make a path straight from our heart to the heart of Messiah. I want you to know the preacher whose message is repent has pledged his head to heaven for the gospel. If you want to be popular, please don't preach repentance or teach it to anyone. It's not a popular thing. And yet this is what John the Baptist preached. It's what Isaiah preached. And it's my responsibility. I must not and I will not dilute the gospel that God has given and that Jesus also preached. I want us to explore today what it means to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So we can walk step by step with Jesus. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. There are five. Five strong meanings of the Hebrew and Greek words. And as I flesh them out, and as you and I look at the sign here in the scripture in Isaiah and in John, I hope that you'll read the sign with me and say, "Now I get it. Now I understand how to make this straight path, this straight highway, this turnpike from my heart to the heart of God." First of all, making straight the Lord's way means we must each receive for ourselves Jesus' call to repentance. This voice that cries, "Make straight in the desert," is the Hebrew word yashar. Make yashar in the desert. The word means make ready, make pleasing, make good, make right, make pleasant, make prosperous, upright, make even, make straight. Straight is the opposite of proud. You might think the opposite is crooked, but spiritually speaking, the opposite of straight is proud. Straight means humble, repentant. The prophet Habakkuk, this is someone that Martin Luther looked into what he said in Habakkuk 2:4 and then in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, and he found the same thing. And there the prophet Habakkuk in Habakkuk 2:4 spoke of every proud soul, saying, "Behold, his soul is puffed up within him. His heart is not yashar within him." It's not upright. He hasn't made a path straight from his heart to God's heart. It says, "But the just shall live by his faith." That's what brought the Reformation. Notice in Isaiah 41:6, you'll find that this message is not something that we just kind of casually say. I thought you might not ought to know this. It's crying, crying, crying. Notice in chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 2, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, cry to her that her warfare is ended." Verse 3, "A voice cries in the wilderness." Verse 6, "A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry?" Four times, cry, cry, cry. How many of you, whether it's in an argument with your spouse or with your dad or mom or with someone else, how many of you, when you cry, keep your voice completely even-tempered? Is there an increase in intensity? Is there an increase in volume? Oh, yes. Cry! Cry out! I want to illustrate what straight means through the life of a mighty Scottish Presbyterian preacher and pastor, Clarence Edward Noble Macartney, the last of seven children, born in Scotland. He came to America, and he rose like cream rises to the top. He became the moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America. He wrote only 57 books. That's a bunch. And in all of those, it was in the 20s, in 1924, he was doing battle in his day for the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God during all those days was so strong in 1920. He said a diluted Bible results in a diluted gospel. He's best known for a message that he preached in Philadelphia on October 18, 1915. It's his most well-known, and it's an evangelistic message called Come Before Winter. You can look it up on Google and read it. He preached straight from the heart about the need to receive Jesus Christ now. And there we are, Steve, talking about what you said today. What did he preach? Let me quote from him. He preached this. The Holy Spirit, when he invites men to come to Christ, never says tomorrow, but always today. He says, if you can find me one place in the Bible where the Holy Spirit says, believe in Christ tomorrow, or repent and be saved tomorrow, I'll come out of the pulpit, stay out of it, for I would have no gospel to preach. This is a today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart message. Matthew Henry, 310 years ago in 1712, wrote about making ready with repentance. He said, prepare yourselves for Jesus, the Messiah. Prepare yourselves for him. Remove everything that is an obstruction to his entrance. Make room for Christ. If he's prepared the end for us, and he has, we ought surely to prepare the way for him. Prepare for the Savior. There ought to be a turnpike from your heart straight to the heart of God, and a turnpike from his heart back to you. That's the first meaning. So first of all, we must each receive for ourselves Jesus' call to repentance. Number two, making straight the Lord's way means we must remove every obstacle in our heart that resists repentance. We have so many things that have risen up that, oh, I don't want to repent of that. How do we do this? John the Baptist said, I set before you a way to remove the obstacles, just like Isaiah. He said in Isaiah 40, verse 4, every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground will become level, or the crooked made straight, and the rough places plain. It's right as well in Isaiah 42. The rough places plain. Isn't it something? How does this work? We must level the road. We must level the mountains of human pride in Messiah's way to our hearts. We must level the highway to our heart for Jesus. We all at times raise obstacles. We have valleys of low and base sins. We resist confessing and forsaking. We have mountains of pride. We have crooked and stubborn hearts. We have stiff-necked stubbornness. Sin blockades us and is an obstacle from our heart straight to the heart of God. Sometimes we isolate ourselves in steep valleys of sin. We get ourselves in box canyons of addiction so that we desperately need Messiah Jesus' chain breaking of our sins. Our anxieties become for us addictions. Unpredictable anger erupts from our lips. Biting sarcasm entraps us in cages of bitterness. Deep caves of grudges can hold us tightly in an iron-like grip. And sometimes we don't get out of it until we get revenge. Some of us today are held in the dark world of internet pornography. There's no straight way through pornography to the heart of God. Some of us have a long chain on, and we're fighting an inner battle with a skeleton in our closet that's rattling louder and louder and louder and louder. And we need to confess it and get right and get healed over that trauma. Have you acknowledged your despair? Have you cried out in the wilderness of your life for God to set you free? God will hear your cry. The Holy Spirit lays the groundwork. The ground base is repentance. He wants to break up our fallow or our stony ground by repentance. He wants to break us up from our sinful past and our sinful habits. Repentance is needed. But repentance is like surgery. How many of you signed up, I'd like surgery next week? It's extremely painful. It's difficult to break from past behaviors that are still enticing, that are still pleasing and self-satisfying. Freedom from sin, shame, and slavery is joyous, but the road there, clearing the way by tears and by repentance and confession of our sins to God and to each other and praying, that is like an earth-moving equipment kind of thing. That's hard to do. Most of us don't do it very easily. We don't have a highway straight to the heart of God. In repentance, we must lay our sins on Jesus. We must immediately, even at the touch of his finger on one little thing in our life, run straight to the cross, run straight to Jesus to remove it from our lives and turn us to him and him alone. He will clear the highway to our heart and he'll establish his rule and reign in our lives. So, first of all, we must receive for ourselves Jesus' call to repentance. We must remove every obstacle in our heart that resists repentance. Thirdly, we must make straight the Lord's way, and it means we must want to cease stumbling in the same places and in the same ways. Notice, make in the desert a highway. The Hebrew word is derek. It means a road that is well traveled. If you have a highway straight from your heart to the heart of God, it means you're on that highway all the time. It means it's well traveled. When there's sin in your life, you're straight to him for forgiveness. Straight, and he's forgiving you. Straight, it's a well traveled road. It shouldn't be a little path that we wind up to once in a great while. It should be a well traveled road, a lifestyle that we walk that is pleasing to God. The Hebrew word for highway is mesilaw, M-E-S-I-L-A-W. It means to mound up a turnpike, a thoroughfare that doesn't have ruts and potholes or washouts. Now, I want you to know that in America, something very, very different from anything that's happened over the centuries began to happen about 150 years ago. You could say, some of you, 250 or 300, but especially about 150 years ago, this idea came up in people's minds and preachers' minds that Christians still sin. Isn't that amazing? Christians still sin. So they need at least once a year revival meetings. So they started having revival meetings. 2 weeks. That's the place to start. At least 2 weeks of revival meetings. And then we'll get right with God and we'll have a better year. But John the Baptist has a different roadmap to revival. He doesn't say, we need a path to the Lord once every year during a 2-week revival meeting. He wants us to have a spirit of revival so we aren't stumbling over and over the same potholes, getting high-centered in washouts. Now, what's on the roadmap? And you'll notice he's got it. Four things. They're right there in Isaiah. They're right there in Luke. They're right there in John. Some things in our lives will have to be lifted up. What's a valley? It's a low place. It's a crevice. It's a gutter. It's a washout. It's a vertical drop. Revival is needed because we refuse to allow places in our lives that are lacking with God, low spots in our walk, to get filled in. We allow them to be hollowed out more and more, deeper and deeper. Making straight the way to repentance before the Lord means these places must be filled in before revival can happen. Perhaps we're living in deep debt. You say, preacher, don't talk about debt. I'm talking about it because we must control our spending and we must learn to live somehow on what God has provided. He's promised to provide all our needs. We don't need to have tens and tens of thousands of dollars in car debt and things which keep us from being able to serve the Lord. It can be a low place in our life we need to fill in. God will give you help. Get counsel from people that know more about it than I do. But get control of your finances. There are deep marital issues. There's physical health, recreational, school activities that pull us away from God almost into a hole where we don't even see the things of God. That becomes primary. Does it matter to God? It matters to God. Does it matter to you? Does it matter to me? Will we repent and fill in the low places? There's some things in our lives that have to be brought way down to level ground. And every mountain and hill will be made low, Isaiah 40, verse 3. What's a mountain or a hill? It's something standing taller than the rest of the landscape, something that becomes a barrier, something that's a hindrance to a straight and level path from your heart to the heart of God. These uplifted hills and mountains for me and you include pride, grudges, jealousy, hypocrisy, disobedience to the will of God, fear, worry, unforgiveness, lust, unfaithfulness. There's so many mountains that get in the way of a straight highway from our heart to the heart of God. What are these attitudes, these actions, these passions in our life that must come down if we're going to move straight to the heart of God and have revival? Some valleys must be lifted up. Some mountains must be brought down. Some things outside God's plumb line are crooked and they need straightened out. And the crooked shall become straight. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, the uneven ground shall become level. The word crooked means deceptive, sly, manipulative, slippery. It's like a hairpin curve. I want you to know, if you've got a hairpin curve mountain that you have to go through to get to repentance, it'll take you quite a few days to even repent. It may take years. These things in our lives that we have agreed to allow in our life are hazardous to our health, hazardous to our spiritual health. What are these places in the roads of our life? Have we refused to bow to the lordship of Christ? Have we turned a deaf ear to his call? Have we refused to submit to God and each other in the fear of God, as he commands us in Ephesians 5:21? Have we allowed recreation or work or health or hobbies to lead us away from God? Have we gotten our eye off of that highway of repentance we need for ourselves? Have we become specialists at knowing what others should do, like the Pharisees? We can know what everyone in this church needs but ourselves, and we can justify our own behavior. Do you remember the lawyer that came to Jesus trying to entrap him? He asked him what the greatest commandments were, and the Lord told him, and then he says, if you'll just do that, love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19:18, you'll be fine. And to justify himself on the second commandment, this lawyer said, and who is my neighbor? What was he doing? He wasn't applying it to himself. He wanted to justify himself. So the Lord told him the parable of the Good Samaritan. I want you to take a test right now and see if you have a straight line, a straight turnpike from your heart to the heart of God with repentance. When you're confronted by God or by your brother or sister, by your spouse or anyone else about something in your life that is less than stellar, it's something in your life that's not what it ought to be, how quickly do you get to the heart of God to ask forgiveness? How quickly do you say you're sorry to your brother or your sister? I want you to know, if you justify yourself and you can't find a way to the heart of God to say, I'm sorry, you are still on a crooked path and it needs to get straightened out by the grace of God. Some things that are valleys need to be lifted. Mountains need to be brought low. The crooked needs to be straightened. Some rough things, rough around the edges, will have to be graded off into a plain. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, and the rough places, a plain. You talk about a washboard. How many of you like being on washboard roads? Go over 15 miles an hour, it'll throw you clean off the road. It's no fun. Christian walks that want revival have to deal with the washboards. Those things which make it virtually impossible to have a highway to our God. Make straight in the desert a highway. Questionable words and actions. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tell us to shun or abstain from every form of evil. Now, I can't mention them all, but I'll mention 10 or 12, and I'll illustrate one of them. Slander. What would our church or any church be like without any slander, without any gossip, without any envy, without any anger, explosion, without any prayerlessness, without any meddling in other people's affairs, which the Bible says is like grabbing a mad dog by the ears. What would happen if our church would totally learn to control our bad tempers, our hatred, our bitterness, our grudges? How many of us would there be a change if we just say, God, I'm sorry, I've opposed leadership that you've raised up? What about marriage? There's a marital gotcha that is probably the biggest gotcha in all of your marriages. Don't think it hasn't happened in mine. It can happen in any marriage. When something comes up and you want to have the upper hand, you want to have the hammer, you know all you have to do? You just go to this file. It's called PAST. And you drag it out. What would happen if we didn't do that in our marriages? If we didn't do it with each other? What about impure thoughts? What about motives? What about labeling? Labeling. You say, well, you're against a sign that says pork and beans? No, I picked that up. I like to have certain labels. But you know what happens in the family of God? We as Christians speak of each other in demeaning ways. Let me give you about five ways that may bring some of the ways you do it to mind. He's nothing but a spewing volcano. She is pure strychnine. His elevator doesn't make it up to the second floor. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw a 10-foot pole. Watch out, she wears the pants in their house. What are all of those? Those are evil labels that should never be used in the family of God. They need to be put away and repented of. Get out God's sandpaper of repentance and make the way straight to the heart of God. Are we resisting repentance and revival? Listen to John the Baptist at the Jordan. Maybe you'll be down in the water with the others. Are we really hearing his message? Are we really repenting? Number four, make straight the Lord's way means us and not others. That's why we heard Pastor Larry reading. The soldiers were saying, what shall we do? The tax collectors are saying, what shall we do? Just name your occupation and then say, what must I do? Matthew 3, 7 to 10. Don't just repent in words. Repent with deeds in fruits of repentance, Matthew 3, 7 to 10. There is a proper place in the house of God and in the family of God for us when we see a brother or sister in sin. There's a proper place for how to deal with it. But the motive has to every time be one thing: repentance, reconciliation, and remembering our own predisposition to sin. If you ever talk to someone and you don't have a contrite spirit when you go, you shouldn't go to anyone. If your spirit isn't contrite, because you don't think you would do what you're confronting them with. When we want others to suffer, God is not pleased. How many of you read Our Daily Bread this week? Anybody read Our Daily Bread? Well, there's a bunch of you. On Friday, it was on Obadiah. It was God's word of warning to Edom and the Esauites, or the Edomites. When the Babylonians came and took them into captivity in three different excursions, they came and brought them away. You know what happened? Every time the Edomites were waiting to grab anything they could. And you know what the Lord said in Obadiah 1:12? He says, you should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune. How many of you parents let your kids by with watching to see when finally your big brother, your little sister gets in trouble? And it's gloat time. Time to gloat. It's time, as it was in my day growing up, they had a big key that went in the lock, and you could actually get your eye right up to the keyhole and watch your brother or sister be disciplined. And if that ever happened that we watched, let me tell you, it was double for us. Because it's don't gloat. Don't gloat over your brother and sister in trouble. Would we, as examples to our children, would we say about our brother or sister in Jesus, well, they got their comeuppance. They had it coming. Isaiah and John the Baptist are aiming for us to make straight our way to the Lord, to show us our faults. I think of that song, "Don't Shoot the Wounded." They need us more than ever. They need us no matter what it is they've done. We've got to take time to hear their story. Have you heard their story? Don't shoot the wounded. Someday you might be one. Make straight the Lord's way means not others, us. And last of all, making straight the Lord's way means make agreement, concord, and harmony with each other. In Isaiah 40, verse 4, it says very plainly the phrase, "The uneven ground shall become level, the crooked shall be made straight." The Hebrew word for crooked or uneven is akobi, which means swelled up or swelled out, that which grabs us by the heels and trips us. Have you ever had a dog or something come and nip at your heels and make you fall? What is it that keeps you from having concord and harmony? Akobi can mean fraudulent, deceptive, polluted. What does repentance bring? Here it says, "The crooked shall become straight." The word for crooked in the Greek is skolios. Anybody ever heard of scoliosis? It is a crooked spine. Some of us, maybe more of us than want to admit, have a crooked spiritual spine. We have things that are not for harmony, not for agreement, not for concord. Beloved, all of us can suffer at times with a crooked spiritual spine. The crooked place or the road is a place of deceit, which is almost always my human heart and your human heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful or crooked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The greatest speaker on revival, perhaps in the last 300 years, is a man by the name of Richard Owen Roberts. Anything you can get by him is worth reading. His words are, "There can be no salvation apart from repentance." I'd like to add to that, "There can be no Christian growth apart from repentance and making a straight highway to our God." Now, what does God want to do to make us straight in our crooked, deceitful parts and places and ways in our hearts? He says the crooked ways have to be made straight. And it's interesting, he's not using the word yashar anymore. That's the original word, make ready, make right, make forthright, make upright, make pleasing. This is a different word. It's mishor. It's from the word yashar, but it's a different whole word. It means one thing. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It means harmony, concord, agreement between persons. That's in marriages, that's in homes, that's in church, that's at work. What brings harmony and straightness with God? Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." He'll make them harmonious. Lewis Evans, the former pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church, said something I don't believe is only for couples. "I believe if you'll hear me, and I'll repeat it twice, it is for brothers and sisters in the household of God every bit as much as it is for couples." But here's what he said. He says, "I have never known a couple who went ahead with a divorce after first praying together on their knees every day for a solid week." I'll say it again. "I've never known a couple who went ahead with a divorce after first praying together on their knees every day for a solid week." What would happen to the family of God if we as brothers and sisters, when we have a falling out, would say, "We're getting together once a day for a whole week"? I think a harmony would be there. Praying together is not just a repentance solvent, but it's a revival glue. It binds our hearts together anew in joyous harmony. So that what happens? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5 says, "When we have a highway to our God, the glory of the Lord will be revealed." All of a sudden, His glory, His Shekinah glory will shine down on us. Dr. Paul Tournier, speaking about the husband and wife thing. Could be speaking about brothers as well and sisters. He says, when a husband and wife pray together before God, that they find the secret of true harmony. They find out that the difference in their temperaments and their ideas and their tastes enriches their homes instead of endangering it. He says, when each of the marriage partners seek quietly before God to see his own or her own faults and recognize his or her own sin and ask forgiveness of the other, marital problems are no more. He says, we learn to become absolutely honest with each other. That's the price to be paid if partners very different from each other are to combine their gifts instead of setting them up against each other. It's true of brothers and sisters. If praying together can restore a marriage or restore a church or restore brothers and sisters, what can it do for you and me? Do you need something in your life, a straight path, a harmonious path with you and someone else to God? Is it your spouse? Is it a brother? Is it a sister? David Brannan said, couples who pray together stay together. I'd like to say it another way. The church that prays together stays together. What's God after in this straight path from my heart to his heart, your heart to his heart? My sense is the Holy Spirit wants me to cry aloud in this wilderness, to cry aloud with what he's placed on my heart, that he is saying to us as a church, make straight in your desert, in our 2022 wilderness, make straight a highway to our God. And God make it so in Rock Springs Evangelical Free Church. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.